You're listening to a message from Island Christian Church at the Northport Campus. Ordinary people, extraordinary God.
Speaker today, welcome Pastor Rafael Restrepo.
Good morning, everyone. So if you know who I am, then you're thinking, are we having a missions conference? No missions conference this week. So no, you didn't have to prepare for missions conference, and actually, I'm very glad that we didn't have to prepare for that, so that we can hear afresh from the Lord this morning without any bias in our hearts. So my name is Rafael Restrepo, and my wife, Mary, sends her hello. She's not with us. She had to go back to Spain on Tuesday. And I walked through the doors of this church on May 11th, 1980, and I never left. Now, this is where you say, well, how come I don't know you, and where have you been? Well, it's because I'm the custodial of the ICC campuses in Spain. So, and the commute's a little rough, so I don't come over too much. I was scheduled to be here for this weekend. I'm on my way to Central America because Pastor Paul told me to go, so I'm just doing what he tells me to. Anyway, but of course it turned into a different sort of circumstance, and I feel very privileged that I come to you on a Sunday like this, but I pray that at the end of the day it'll all make sense to us. The Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21 said this, "For me, to live is Christ, to die is gain. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain." Now, Paul knew the cost. And to him, it's kind of strange, I know, to some of us as we read it, but to him, the cause was to stay and suffer for his name. He says in that passage, he'd rather depart. Actually, he says, it would be much better. But staying, he says, would mean the benefit for others. Now, this is the ultimate selflessness. Because Paul is saying, man, I'd rather go to heaven now. But I realize I must stay for you. Let's pray. Father, would you speak to us this morning? It's been a rough week, Lord. It certainly has been for me. But it's been a good week too, Lord, in so many ways, as we get to see the whole circle. Would you speak to our hearts today, Father? I'm so glad that we had no idea that today we would speak on missions. That way we could walk in here without any prejudice, without any barriers, open to hear your word, open to hear your spirit speak into our hearts. So speak to us, we pray, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me just read to you briefly Matthew chapter 24, verse 14. "In this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations." As a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. It's a little rough for the Church of Christ around the world right now. I'm not sure to what extent you keep up with it, but there's a lot of sense in the air in many places, in many countries, that we're in the last days. And if that be the case, this verse says that we are to be about our Father's business in the inhabited earth, the whole world, the inhabited earth. And that we're to be a testimony, and you know that word, where it comes from. It's that word martyrion, where we get the word martyr. And so we're to be martyrs to the nations, and the word nations means ethnos, that's what the word is, ethnos, which is the people groups. About a year ago, my oldest daughter, I have four daughters, and my oldest one, was on her way. She and her husband Caleb and two of our grandkids were on their way to Spain. And she called me and said, hey Dad, the mission board has given us a commission. And the commission is that we're to work specifically and strategically only among Spaniards. I said, yes, yes. Well, you see, I know the reason why. Let me just share that reason with you. Spain is an unreached nation. It is under the unreached nations list. And the reason is because when you look at Spain, there is less than 1%, I said, less than 1% of Spaniards, proper Spaniards, are born-again Christians, less than 1%. Now, if you then throw in all of the immigrants, and Spain is an immigrant-receiving nation, if you throw in all the immigrants that are there that are born-again Christians, you still don't reach 2%. So her mission board, their mission board, the IMB, has commissioned them to work among a people group called the Spaniards. I'm not Spanish. I'm Colombian. That's a whole different ballgame. You must know that the proclamation of the gospel has a price. And the reason is so that the people groups might hear. That's what he said in Matthew 24:14. So that the people groups might hear and for the end to come. So I'm going to state my question straight off the bat, right at the beginning of this message. I'm going to state my question to you. Are you a candidate for martyrdom? Are you a candidate for martyrdom? Not always. Not always do we know where our steps will take us. Not always. I certainly had no idea when I said, here I am, Lord, send me. I had no idea. I had no idea the price that we would pay as a family, my wife and I, or me as an individual. Nor did I know the long-term implication of this commitment. And I certainly had no idea what the eternal impact would be. The tapestry woven by the Master into our lives seems confusing, sometimes twisted, as we look at it from beneath. But the beauty and the perfection can only be seen from above, from the other side. I only have 3 points. Let me just point them out to you. You have them in your handout as you came in. Number one, a sure promise. There is a sure promise. Number two, payment is suffering. And number three, the prize is suffice. Know this, every possible martyr needs to get this. Know this, that it is a sure promise. Listen, folks, I have just a couple of things underneath this thought. Number one, Jesus never lies. Never lies. Never lied to me. Never lied to you. And in this passage in Matthew 24, he says that this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world. So, it's kind of simple. It's really not that complicated. You can enjoy it. Get on the bandwagon. You can ride the roller coaster. You can have the fun. You can get on board. Or you can miss out. You can be a part of it, or just sit in the shadows. You can get the blessing, or just watch everybody else get the blessing. Number two, payment has been issued for the lost. Payment has been issued for the lost. I have a banner in our international church that reads, "From every tribe, nation, and tongue." From every tribe, nation, and tongue. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. And John, as he's watching this vision of heaven, and as he's seeing the Lamb, he says, he realizes what's going on, and he says that he hears them say, "You were slain." The Lamb was slain. "And by your blood, you ransomed people for God." The price has been paid. He ransomed people for God. How do we find the ransom ones? How do we find them? Well, by indiscriminately preaching the gospel. By indiscriminately preaching the gospel to the nations, to the ethnos, to all the people groups. And number three, it is all to be done for His name's sake. Not for my name's sake. Not for our name on the bulletin or on the street sign or, you know, on the marquee. It's for His name's sake. Romans chapter 15. There we have verse 8 and 9, and I'm going to just kind of bring this verse together for you. It says, "Christ became a servant." That's what it says. What for? It says, "That the ethnos," that's the word nations, "that the ethnos might glorify God for His mercy." That the nations might glorify God for His mercy. Do you remember the day you came to know the Lord? And you, something happened. And as you got more and more knowledge of what had happened, you got excited. And you became grateful. And you became thankful. And then one day you said, "Oh my word. Why me? Why me?" And then you understood mercy. And you began to get so happy. Because God had mercy on you. And you know what happens when that occurs? Your life, your voice is turned to singing. Because you realize He had mercy. That's what it's saying here, folks. That the nations might glorify God for His mercy. The incarnation was to bring glory to the Father by showing mercy to the nations. So what about you? I'm going to state this again. Are you a candidate for martyrdom? Are you? Are you a candidate for martyrdom? And remember, you got to remember this. Come what may, remember what Paul said. Remember, to die is gain. To die is gain. Our second thought is this. Payment is suffering. Now, suffering is not a good word. As a matter of fact, we'll learn that we tend to run away from it. But before you start wondering why suffering is payment, let me remind you of the other payment. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 reminds us that the payment for sin is what? Death. That was what you owed before God found you. Your payment was death. So may I just remind you that any other payment other than death, what's not too bad of an exchange? It's actually a wholesale price. So before you think suffering is that's a heavy payment, remind yourself what payment you owed God before Jesus came into your life. Death. Death. Hostility is growing around the world. Hostility is growing in the West, in countries where Christianity is a minority. They call them closed countries. Not closed. They're not closed for the Church of Jesus Christ. We find our way to get in. You know, they think they're closed. Oh, we sneak in. Because the nations must hear. The ethnos must hear. Some of those countries have stopped allowing me to go in. Not the government, the churches. They say, we can't guarantee your life. So I can't go into India anymore. I can't go into Algeria anymore. And I keep telling them, guys, I don't care. Just let me in. I want to teach. And they say, too much paperwork if something happens. No, we don't want to deal with you. Now, Bolivia was actually one of those countries. I don't know if you know this, but the church and churches hit the streets and a lot of things happened. And Evo Morales was thrown out of office and a socialist country has gone back to able to breathe. And here's the most ironic thing. The person that became president, which was down the line because all the other ones cowered and ran out of the country, is a woman who claims to be a born-again Christian. And he didn't want the church to prosper. He tried to put all sorts of laws to stop it. God is in control. I can talk to you about Iran. I can talk to you about Nigeria. Those are the ones I have personal information. But there's so many. So many. Here in the West, we move toward comfort. We move toward ease. We move away from stress. We move away from trouble. We move away from harm. Yet Jesus said to us, take up your cross and follow me. Right now you're thinking, yeah, I got a mother-in-law, not your cross. I know, ladies, I know.
My husband.
No, not your husband, not your cross. The word cross means death. Take up your cross. Be willing to die. Follow me. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, he ran toward the danger and paid the ultimate price. Jim Elliot and his company, they ran toward the men with the spear and paid the ultimate price. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 13 says to us, therefore let us go to him outside the camp, listen, dears, and bear the reproach he endured. Bear the reproach he endured. This is the language of Scripture. Romans, in the fifth chapter, verses 3 through 5. The language of Scripture in this regards continues. It says, Paul says, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts. God's love has been poured into our hearts. His love took him to the cross. That love was poured into you. You cannot run toward comfort. You cannot. You must not. Ramon Llull, a Spaniard from Mallorca, at the age of 82, let that sink in, 82. He was a linguist. He was a theologian, a lover of God. He loved Arabic. At the age of 82, he crossed the Mediterranean and went to Tunis and began to preach to Muslims. He was stoned and died from those injuries. At the age of 82, he ran toward the danger, away from the comfort. I'm going to ask you one more time. Are you a candidate for martyrdom? And I'm going to ask you to remember this. Remember this, my loved one. To die is gain. To die is gain. Our third thought is the prize is sufficient. There's a prize at the end of this. And that prize is sufficient. So where do we get the resources to live like this? Where does a man find the resources to preach for over 50 years until he could preach no more? Where do we find the resource to do this? Well, because we believe the promises of God. We just simply believe what God says. Let me read to you out of Hebrews. Let me read the whole passage. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32 and 34. Now, let me just give you a little bit of a background. This is right before Hebrews 11. You know Hebrews 11, right? All the heroes of the faith who died. You know, by faith they did all these wonders. That's right before Hebrews 12 that says we are encompassed by such a great a cloud of witnesses. Those are the ones in Hebrews 11. But the forerunner to Hebrews 11 and Hebrews 12 is Hebrews 10. And it's this right here. This is what starts it off. Listen to what it says in verse 32. But recall the former days when, after you were enlightened, that's the gospel, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, and sometimes being partners with those who were treated. Hey, that's running to the danger. Listen. For you had compassion on those in prison. They didn't have to go to prison to visit the ones that were in prison. But they did. And by doing so, they became exposed. You see, they ran towards the danger, away from the comfort. Why did they do that? It says, since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one. Because you knew that you yourselves had a better and lasting possession. That's why we run towards the danger. Psalm 63. Beautiful psalm. This is how the psalmist puts it. Because your steadfast love is better than life. Because your steadfast love is better than life, he says, my lips will praise you. Because your steadfast love is better than life. In Luke chapter 21, Jesus spelled it out this way. This is the language of Scripture, folks. You will be delivered up even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and some of you they will put to death. Did you hear that? They will deliver you, and some of you will be put to death. You will be hated by all for my name's sake. And then he puts in this phrase, yet not a hair will perish. Yet not a hair will perish. One fellow said, that means that when they put your head on the block, they're going to kindly put a little ponytail just to get your hair out of the way. Because not even a hair. That is the language of Scripture, folks. A better and lasting possession. But some of you they will put to death. So I'll ask you, who's going to take our place? Who's going to take our place? Who is going to take Pastor Harris's place? Where is that generation? I was talking to Pastor Mike this morning, just kind of doing numbers. And if someone here today, one of you would say, I want to go, I want to replace you, and I want to get good, proper education, and I want to go to a good place, get a great education so I can serve God better, and you left this year, you would be coming back about the year that I retire. Who's going to take our place? Who's going to take the place of the generation that left this church to go preach, to stay and preach, to proclaim to the nation? I know you guys are Long Islanders and you kind of understand this. I think you do. But let me just give it to you. I've been gone for 33 years. If I was to come back to Long Island, do you know that I would look at you as ethnos? You are a people group. You see, I would have to relearn what it means to live on Long Island. This is tough land. I would have to relearn the whole concept of traffic. It's like, how do they do this? I would have to figure out how to live on a budget that includes water and bread and peanut butter. because how do y'all survive here? I mean, I'm trying to help my daughter find an apartment. And what she makes and what the apartment costs is more than what she makes. How's she supposed to feed herself and feed the kid? My third granddaughter. I wouldn't know how to deal with you, ethnos. I can deal better with the other ethnos. Stay where I am, man. It's easier. Because we're all different. But yet we're all just sort of a group. And who reaches us must understand our group so that they can reach us properly. Who is going to go and replace us? So as I conclude, I'm going to ask you one more time. Are you a candidate for martyrdom? Are you a candidate for martyrdom? And say it with me, because I want you to remember this part. Say it with me. Remember this. To die is... Do you understand what that means? Paul seems to think better over there than over here. I'll stay because somebody's got to get the job done. But if I had a choice, I'd leave and depart now. So, to die is gain. The time is coming for me to step down, Pastor Mike to step down, all the elders in this church, in a few years, they're all going to step down. I mean, even Tom retired. Thought he'd never leave the waterways. Who will replace our generation? It doesn't happen by osmosis. It happens because you hear the word, you hear the call, you see the responsibility, and you say, I am not going to run toward the comfort. I'm going to run toward the danger. So let's stop. Moving towards the comfort. Let's stop moving towards the ease. Let's stop running away from stress, trouble, and harm. Let us run toward the danger and pay whatever price the master appoints. Because remember, to die is gain. Now, I don't know what God's speaking into your life, so I trust the sovereignty of God that long before I got here, he's already been talking to you. He's been doing things, and you're trying to, you know, what's that all about? And you're uncomfortable. I'm here to remind you that that was God saying to you, are you ready to be the martyr? Are you a good candidate? And if you are, then please obey the voice of God. Somebody has to replace us. I'm going to pray in a few seconds and dismiss us, but while I do that, and God is speaking to you, you come, do business with him. Come up here and say, here I am, God. I'm willing to go. I want to go. Whatever it takes, I'm going. Or you could just sort of go back out there into the mist and run back into the comfort. Some of you have to have heard God speak to you. He's been talking to you. So come, right now. Just come, stand up out of your seat. Come and just get on your knees right here and say, God, here I am. Not much, but here I am. Use me. I want to replace those old fogies. I want to step in their place. Let's stand as we close in prayer. If you're going to come, come now. Right now, just come out of that seat and say, God, here I am. I've run toward comfort too much. I'm way too comfortable. I need to do something else. I need to give more to what I know is eternal and everlasting. I was made for martyrdom. Father in heaven, you have spelled it out very clear in your word. It isn't that we don't understand. It's that sometimes we don't want to hear. Thank you. Thank you for the clarity resounding upon our hearts. Thank you for your spirit. Thank you that some you call to run towards the danger. Some have been called out for martyrdom. But that's okay. It really is okay. Because to die is gain. Father, would you speak into our hearts this morning? Seal our thoughts, our commitments. Make us into usable vessels. In Jesus' name.